Let me tell you about my friends and the neighborhood in which we lived. We've all grown up and moved away. Perhaps you live there now. Cocky and the Rhinoceros. Cocky wasn't a cocky boy. He was really quite shy. So when he met a rhinoceros at the bus stop, you will not be surprised to learn that he didn't say anything until the rhino spoke. "Hello," said the rhino. "Hello," replied Cocky. "I'm just waiting for a bus," the big fellow explained.
"Me too," said Cocky. "I haven't seen you here before."
"I'm new in town." The rhino began to whistle. There was nobody else about. It wasn't often that a boy met a rhinoceros, and Cocky wanted to talk some more. "I'm off to school," he said, holding up a school bag.
"Are you?" said the rhino. "That's good, isn't it?"
"Yes," replied Cocky.
There was another pause, then Cocky spoke again.
"Are those horns real?" he asked, pointing to the big horn on the crown of the rhino's nose and the smaller one behind it.
"Oh, yes," the rhino replied.
"There aren't many around here with horns," Cocky said. "We have lots of cats and dogs, and I know somebody with a lizard, but no horns. Can you open bottles with them?"
"I could," said the rhino, "but I don't want to draw attention to myself."
"Okay," Cocky said, nodding his head. What the rhino didn't say was that there was nobody else about, because when people saw him standing at the bus stop, they all ran away.
The rhino did some more whistling.
"What number of bus are you waiting for?" Cocky asked.
The rhino shrugged.
"I don't know."
"Where are you going?"
"Home," the big fellow answered.
Where's home?"
The rhino pointed.
"That way."
"I'm getting on the number 11, Cocky said.
"I'm getting on the one that goes farthest, I expect," said the rhino.
But he didn't sound at all sure.
"You better come with me," said Cocky.
"What's your name?" Cocky asked as he walked the rhinoceros back to his house. The rhino made a rhinoceros sound that Cocky could not repeat.
"Ooh," said Cocky. "Can I call you something else?"
"No," said the rhino.
"I could just call you Rhino."
"What's your name?"
"Cocky."
"I like that name."
"You do?" said Cocky, with a sudden bright smile.
"You can call me Cocky, too."
Cocky was very pleased.
And so was Cocky. After all, how could there be any confusion when one Cocky was a boy and the other a rhinoceros?
Cocky's mum and dad had gone to work, so there was nobody at home. The house was warm and quiet. "You haven't told me what you're doing in my neighborhood," Cocky said.
"Were you looking for me?"
Cocky hoped that the rhinoceros would say that he was.
"Oh, I'm always on the lookout," replied the rhino.
On the lookout for what?"
Cocky hoped that the rhino would say he was on the lookout for a new friend. Like all rhinoceroses, this one was short-sighted, which meant he could only see things clearly at close range. The rhino moved close to Cocky and looked him over.
"You're a boy who's always on the lookout," he said. "I can tell."
"Well, yes," said Cocky, "I am."
"Good to hear," said the rhino, nodding his big heavy head. "Most people are nice once you get to know them. That's what I find."
"Do you know any people apart from me?" Cocky asked.
"Not yet,"
the rhino admitted, shaking his head from side to side.
"You better stick with me," said Cocky. "Are you hungry?" Cocky asked, throwing his school bag in the corner.
"I am," said the rhino.
Cocky made toast and jam, but the rhino wouldn't eat it.
"I know,"
said Cocky brightly, and he went looking for his dad's jar of Marmite. While Cocky rummaged in the cupboards, the rhino went out the back door and ate the gun. "You're a bit smelly," Cocky said, breathing through his mouth.
"A bit," said the rhino, raising his eyebrows. "I'm a lot smelly, and in a very nice sort of way."
Cocky scratched his head. He didn't want to pretend that he liked a lot of smell. "I think we'll give you a bath," he said. The rhinoceros wanted to please his new friend, so he thundered up the stairs and had a bath. Afterwards, he went out into what was left of the garden, had a quick charge up and down, and a nice roll in the flower beds. Cocky told the rhino he would have to stay at home while he went to school. "You can watch telly if you like."
"I think I'll have a nap," the rhino replied. He pounded up the stairs again.
Cocky showed him his bed. "If my mum and dad come home early, they may get a shock," said Cocky. "They won't be expecting a rhinoceros. You'll just have to explain."
"Righto," said the rhino.
He rolled onto the boy's comfortable bed with a big yawn. In school, Cocky explained to the teacher why he was late. "I met a rhinoceros at the bus stop," he said.
"Did you?"
exclaimed Miss Belltower, the teacher, making her lips go tight. "You'll have to introduce the animal to the class. We'd be very interested, wouldn't we, children?" All the boys and girls agreed that they would very much like to meet a rhinoceros. "Righto," said Cocky, trying to sound like his rhino friend. For some reason, he was feeling braver than he ever did before. "Can I go home 10 minutes early?" he asked Miss Belltower. "You see, my mum and dad don't know a rhinoceros is having a nap in my bed." "Huh," said the teacher, and made her lips go tight again. But she let Cocky out of school 10 minutes before the others. Cocky's mum and dad weren't pleased when they saw the state of the garden. "What happened?" they asked, throwing their hands up in the air. "A rhinoceros did it," Cocky told them. "A rhinoceros?" they exclaimed. "This one," said Cocky, and introduced his new friend, who was now standing in the kitchen doorway, blushing. It took a little time for Cocky's mum and dad to get used to their guest, but they could see he was a real rhinoceros, and as such, could not be blamed for eating a garden. They sat down and talked about how the rhino had come to be standing at the bus stop on their street. "Can he stay?" Cocky asked. "Just for a while," he added, when he saw his mum and dad frown. "Until he can find his way home," Cocky's mum said. Cocky had his tea. The rhino watched him do his homework, which helped a lot. Then they both watched television. Soon it was time for bed. What were his mum and dad going to do with one large, sleepy rhinoceros? Cocky asked if the rhino could sleep in his bed. "He can go at one end and I'll go at the other." They said no. Not after the garden episode. "He's a nice fellow," Cocky's mum said, "but he has a lot to learn. Besides, he'd make a lot of noise going up the stairs with his heavy hooves, and that wouldn't be fair to the neighbours." The rhino shrugged.
"I could try going up on two legs," he said. Nobody thought that was a good idea.
"I know," said Cocky's dad. "We'll let him sleep in the car."
The rhino didn't mind. In fact, when he saw the car in the garage, he was very pleased. It was a bit of a squeeze getting into the back seat, but it all worked out once they realized that the best plan was to reverse him in. It wasn't long before the rhino was fast asleep in Dad's big old springy car. The following morning, Mum rang Miss Belltower to tell her about the rhinoceros. Dad drove Cocky and the rhino to school. He brought Miss Peltow out to the car to meet the rhino so that she wouldn't get a shock.
"Well, what do you know?" she exclaimed with a little squeak. "Come along, then," she said.
In the classroom, she sat the rhinoceros on two chairs. She was worried about his two horns, so she arranged to have a piece of cork stuck on the end of each in case of an accident. Miss Beltow asked the rhinoceros to tell the class how he had come to be in Dublin, but the rhinoceros was too shy to speak, so his friend, Cocky, spoke up and told the class. "He does not have a name for the country he is from," Cocky said, "but his home is the great grasslands and floodplains." Miss Beltower pointed to the eastern and southern parts of Africa on the large map that hung on the wall. "Most people are nice," the rhino had told Cocky, "but some were not." Cocky told the class that men with guns and zebra trucks had chased many animals across the plains. Some animals had fled to the sea, Cocky explained. "Our rhinoceros had got on a ship and had sailed all the way to Dublin. He had heard that the grass was greener here." "Grass is important to rhinoceroses," Cocky told the class. At break, the rhinoceros was very popular in the playground, but Cocky was glad that the next day was Saturday because he wanted the rhino to himself. Cocky wanted his new friend to stay and be happy. "Would he like to go to the cinema? Would he like to play crazy golf? Would he like to watch airplanes take off and land? Would he like to make a chocolate biscuit cake?" Oh, they would need syrup and cocoa for that. "Yes, he would like to do all these things," the rhino told him, though he didn't know what any of them were. It was Saturday morning. Cocky took the rhino to the park.
"Where are the other rhinoceroses?" the rhino asked.
"What other rhinoceroses?" said Cocky. "Do you mean the ones in the zoo?"
"Zoo? What's that?"
Cocky described the zoo.
"Oh," said the rhino. He didn't think he wanted to visit the zoo, even though Cocky said it was one of his favorite places.
On the street and in the park, people turned to look. What was a boy doing with a rhinoceros? They asked each other.
Some said, "Hello." Some said, "That can't be right."
A few made what they thought were rhinoceros noises, laughed, and then ran away. The two Cockies walked and talked and were sometimes silent. People would get used to seeing them together. Cocky thought that his new friend seemed a little sad, perhaps because he was missing his rhino family and friends back in Africa. When the rhino was having his nap, Cocky went to the toy shop to look for a toy rhinoceros. He was thinking he might get a soft rhino for Cocky to snuggle at night in his dad's car. There were bears, lions and tigers, tortoises and hedgehogs, but no rhinoceroses, except a tiny plastic one that would be no use to a fully grown rhino who might need a cuddle. Cocky went to what he called the blow-up shop, where there were all sorts of animals and fish a person could inflate by blowing air into them. But there were no rhinoceroses there, either.
"Sorry," said the shop owner. "We don't get many people asking for rhinoceroses."
That night, Cocky snuck out of his bed and went down to the garage to get into the car with the rhinoceros. The rhino's ears twitched and he snored, but Cocky didn't mind. He stroked the animal's nose and then sat in behind the steering wheel. He pretended to take his friend for a long drive to all the places in the city that he liked, including the zoo. When he ran out of places to show him, he found that the rhino was not paying attention. He was having a dream about running. He began to drum his big hooves on the back of the driver's seat. Cocky couldn't sleep, so he got out of the car and went back to his own bed. The teacher told the school principal about the rhinoceros. The principal told the school committee. The school committee told the city council. The city council told the minister for difficulties. The minister for difficulties told the government. The government had a debate on whether or not Cocky the rhinoceros could stay. They couldn't make up their minds.
Oh, dear, said the Minister for Difficulties.
The Taoiseach went to the President, and the President said that the rhinoceros could stay and invited him and his friend, Cocky, to tea. Before they had tea on the lawn in the big house in the park, the President said, We don't need those on here. He pulled the two pieces of cork off the rhino's horns. They made a big squeak and a small squeak. Cocky got his friend, Cocky, to open a bottle of fizz with the tip of his big horn. The President laughed and said, I can do this, and made his eyes cross. The rhinoceros thanked everybody for keeping him safe, but it was time for him to go home. Everybody wished him well, and a large crowd came to wave him off on the ship. Keep a sharp lookout, Cocky told the rhino.
I will, the rhino replied. Cocky was sad, but he was also glad. After all, he had made a new friend. Furthermore, he had heard that Nettie, the girl who lived down the road, had seen an elephant in the allotments. And there was the boy who lived in the corner who had talked to a giraffe in the park. Cocky decided he would go and visit them both tomorrow. He was sure he could be friends with Nettie, and an elephant, and a giraffe, and even the boy who lived in the house in the corner. He had often seen him standing at his window, looking out. That boy might even have seen Cocky standing with a rhinoceros at a bus stop.
The Neighborhood. 9 Linked Radio Stories for Children by Philip Davison. Read by Ciarán Hinds. Produced for RTE Junior Radio by Brian Kenny, made with the assistance of your license fee.